All great speakers were bad speakers at first. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. All great speakers were bad speakers at first, said Ralph Waldo Emerson. Everybody likes to quote him because he has so many fascinating quotes. Well, all good speakers have something to say. And they usually start out with something interesting. A gigabyte is 1 billion. We have computers now, they're gigabytes. They used to be other bytes, but now they're gigabytes. 1 billion seconds ago, it was 1959. A billion hours ago, our ancestors were living in the Stone Age. Can you imagine such a thing? To count 1 billion by 1, 2, 3 takes 31 years. If you do not lose your place. It costs the U.S. government $1 billion every 8 hours and 20 minutes to keep the doors open and keep the lights on. $1 billion every 8 hours for the federal government to keep active. Now that's fine. That's fine, it's just money. And we should be independently wealthy. We should be untouched by seeing people doing things like that, spending money so voraciously. We look at the old statement about lighting a cigar with a $1,000 bill, and we think, oh my goodness sakes, why do something like that? Well, what does it matter? Just think of all the extra food you eat, and then you diet to take it off. I mean, it's sort of ludicrous, but it's what we do. Think of all the liquids we pour through our body, which our body doesn't need, and it just goes out again. If we were just to drink water, what a wonderful, refreshing drink that would be. But no, we don't do that. Think about it. Little children come into life with no preconceived notion as to what they should be fed. And the first thing that parents lovingly want to do to their children is give them candy to suck on. They want to give them high-calorie things. They want to completely unbalance the normal balance that the child came born as. The child normally is born in a very healthy manner, with very healthy bones and everything else about him. There are a few that are not, but those are the exception and not the rule. And that we must keep in mind. That's the exception and not the rule. Sickness is the exception and not the rule. Poverty is the exception and not the rule. Unhappiness is the exception and not the rule. Now, be ready for this. Death is the exception and not the rule. Now, can you handle that?
Yes.
You have been trained all of your life to believe in death, which meant that the person was kaput, was no longer there, was no longer around. And then, how do you know? How do you know? How do you know what levels of consciousness exist when you can't even figure out the level of consciousness you're on? And you can't figure out the level of consciousness you're on because you're letting other people condition your thinking. As little children, our parents conditioned their thinking. And as we grew up, our teachers and our friends and our neighbors and our peers, they all conditioned our thinking. And then you come along with a klutzy kid like Jesus, you know, and he's listening to the divine within him. He's just doing his own thing. We don't know what he was doing, you know. And then he goes and talks to the priests in the temple, the rabbis and so on, and he's brilliant. Age 12, brilliant. Mozart started out earlier, but brilliant. And his questions and discussions with the rabbis were significant. Now, what they talked about, we don't know. Maybe it wasn't significant, but we're led to believe that it was, and so why not? Because we do know out of the mouths of babes come some fabulous remarks, some fabulous thoughts, some fabulous ideas. The great speakers of the world were bad speakers at first. Just take the kids. Ba, ma, da, da, you know. They haven't learned to enunciate. However, if we would expect them to enunciate from the time they were born, they would. If we would expect them to utilize their body, they don't have to train their throat to breathe. They don't have to train their pharynx and so forth to utter words and so forth like that. They don't. You say they do it by duplication, well, where did the first ones do it? How did the first ones do it? Well, they did by trial and error, you say. They don't have to. You can come ready-made. Cars nowadays have very little break-in period. When they have any break-in period at all, it's unusual. I bought a weed whacker, and the weed whacker says, I bought a chainsaw, and the chainsaw said, run it for about 6 hours without cutting anything. Running it for 6 hours without cutting anything? And it says, then it will last forever, you know. Well, who's going to run it for 6 hours using 6 hours of gas and oil and holding it? You know, you got to hold it there. Who's going to do that without putting any pressure on it for 6 hours? Well, now that's a rare, rare thing. They shouldn't create something like that. They shouldn't create something like that. But they want to seat the valves and do this and do that. My goodness, if we would sell cars that people had to sit in and run for 6 hours without going anywhere, they would not feel very happy about that. Probably they'd have to be at the gas station too, because how many hours does your tank hold of gas? Well, it depends on what sort of pressure you're putting on it. Maybe if idle is what they mean, you can idle a car for many hours. But you see, all great speakers were bad speakers at first. Is a human attitude. It's a very human attitude. And we want to transcend that, which is the very thing that Emerson taught, transcendentalism. We want to transcend the idea that all good speakers were bad speakers at first. We want to transcend the idea that little children need to learn how to speak. We need to transcend the idea that little children need to learn how to use their muscles and use their body and to walk and so forth. Well, I guarantee you, if some little child were left out in the wilderness and had to fend for itself at some early age, and it had the will to live, it would have to have the will to live being out in the wilderness by itself, it would survive. It would survive because it would make itself do what it knows it can do. But because the parents carry it and coddle it and feed it and handle it and change its diapers and so forth, it doesn't have to do any of those things. A kid changing his own diapers? Well, no, he wouldn't need to change his diapers. He would use the toilet, you know. Well, use the toilet, 2 days old, a week old, a year old. My goodness sakes, Herb, where are you getting these harebrained ideas from? Well, is anything impossible? If nothing's impossible, why don't we start out with our basics and realize that our children, right from the get-go, are fabulous. Right from the time of their birth, they're amazing, and they are. They are. Now, it's true they may go through some developmental processes, but as they go through these developmental processes, it doesn't have to take as long as we make it take. Oh, he's advanced for his age. Oh, she is beyond any child who's 1 year old. My goodness, look at what she's doing. Well, what they should be doing is walking and talking and dancing and singing and everything else. And some children do. Some children do. Because their parents are intellectual parents, you might say, and expect their children to do these things. And then there are some parents who are rebels. And I don't mean rebels in not doing what's right, but they're rebels in their thinking system, that they think that we can do all these things right from the beginning. They're rebels by thinking they can be good speakers right at the beginning. Now, what makes a good speaker? Can anyone tell me? Come, can anyone tell me what makes a good speaker?
Charisma.
I'm sorry?
His charisma.
No. What makes a good speaker? That too. But what makes a good speaker? He has something to say. He has something to say. And a little child who has something to say, you may not understand it, you may not appreciate it, you may not think it's important, but he has something to say. Now, Daddy, I got something to say. I want to tell you this. Oh, all right, son, go ahead. We're right in the middle of some big discussion here on billions of dollars, but you go right ahead. Daddy, I want to tell you something. All right, I love you. Now, we discourage children from saying things like that because that's not important. That's very important. When a child loves themselves and their world, they respond to their self and their world in a very beautiful way. They come out with genius ideas, with genius flow, with imagination, with thrills, and if they're expected to do that. Now, this is a tough one for you, and I know it's going to make each one of you smile and say, I will see you again in another 50 years. If you were a spiritually illumined parent, and you said to your child, float over here, sweetheart, you'd say, oh my goodness, Jeannie, you know, and no. You don't have to say float over here. You just say come over here, knowing that they will float over here or walk in the air or do whatever. And then you'll say to them, now, can you imagine this? They say, oh, sure. But you see, Mama, you don't know. That is not that you don't know. They don't say that to their parents. You see, Mom, John and Fred are standing here with me. And Mama says, yeah. But they are. And they're telling me what you're thinking. Well, don't you know what I'm thinking? Yes, I do. But they're confirming it. Now, all sorts of things could happen. If parents were spiritually illumined, they would expect their children, to right away be masters, right away be geniuses, right away, as far as the world is concerned, be the greatest magician on the face of the earth. Right away, they can merge, if you will, or walk through a building, a wall, a tree, or whatever. A car can come roaring down the street, aiming right at them. That doesn't bother them. They just merge with it, and it goes on. And you say, my God, what happened here? That's not the world. That's not the physical laws that are being violated. How dare you do that? Well, this is the magic that comes when you're spiritually illumined. We don't think anything of it when we hear about Jesus walking on water and healing the sick and stuff. We don't think anything of it when we hear about other people doing it. But for us to do it, that's just outrageous. That's just beyond all imagination. All reality, you're living on another planet, you're into another element of life, you are just not paying attention. Now, why is it thousands of people go to see the shows of a magician? Why is it that the magician, who is a magician, he advertises himself as a magician, he is doing his legerdemain and fooling the people. The people want to believe it. And because they want to believe it, they see it happening. Now, did it really happen or did it not? Well, if they saw it, it happened. Now, if they say to themselves, it's not real, they wash it out. There are a dozen people standing out in the field, and a flying saucer lands. Two or three of them see the saucer. The rest of them don't. Well, now, Herb, that's getting into this strange area. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, what about when Emil and Jast and Jethro and so forth were doing their things, and Baird Spaulding walked through the field with Emil, and Emil said, would you mind coming along with me? We're going to go through this field. And Baird says, my gosh, it's a big flame going on here. I sure wouldn't like to get in that heat. Well, now, Emil didn't need that. Poof, you know, nothing to him. But it was a demonstration. So what did he do? He created a great big tunnel, so to speak, which was air-conditioned, no less. And they walked through this tunnel as though there was no flame anywhere around them. And the tunnel, of course, was invisible. You could see the flames on the outside. You could see the fire raging away. But it was invisible. Now, is this true? And when they said they could not conceive how one speck of God's substance would cling to another speck of God's substance, for it's not wanted, could you see where that's a possibility? You see, we don't live in the broadness of our introspective self enough. If we would just listen to the magic that goes on inside of us and then demonstrate it outwardly. But we're afraid to do it. Do you know the witches of Salem time? In Salem, Massachusetts, they used to hang the witches and kill the witches because they were doing interesting things. And the witches in Salem time did not like to express their craft of healing, of doing wonderful things. And one witch was called before a judge, and she was called before the judge because she could, you know, walk in the air. And so the judge checked her over, and he says, there's nothing in the law that says you can't walk in the air if you want to. There's nothing in the law that says you can. There's nothing that says that whatever she's doing is incorrect. So I'm releasing this woman. And if she wants to walk in the air to leave here, she may. If she wants to walk on the ground to leave here, she may. Whatever she wants to do, she's a free woman. Now, that was a marvelous judge, like the wisdom of Solomon. But this is what we do. We can be a marvelous speaker right at the beginning. We don't have to have practice and training. When you have something to say, you usually say it quite well. You usually say it quite brilliantly. And you usually say it quite succinctly. You don't have a lot of extra words in there that bore people, that make for a bad speaker. A bad speaker is one who really can't figure out what he wants to say, and by the time you're done listening to him, you have no idea what they said. You know a number of people like that. We know them very close to us. They're brilliant minds. They're brilliant verbalizers. They're brilliant in every way, but they don't say anything. And their charisma keeps you interested, but you keep probing in your mind, what are they saying? Where are they going? What are they driving at? But when little children say what's on their mind and enjoy themselves, they're brilliant. When adults say what's on their mind and enjoy themselves, they're brilliant too. They're brilliant too. And when adults talk about themselves rather than anybody else, we think that's ego and so forth, but that's okay. But they're brilliant too. However, you will not meet an adult this day or this week who says what's on their mind and is having fun doing it. You will not meet someone like that. Now, the reason you won't meet somebody like that is because everybody's been conditioned to do according to the philosophy of the humanistic world we're living in. You can move into your divine self. move out of that humanistic thinking into your divine thinking. You haven't really changed locations, you just changed attitudes. And as you move into this divine thinking, you can do anything. You can accomplish any goal you want, but there's no goal that's important. So you're just being yourself and having fun. And you don't get a thrill out of walking in air and having people see you do that. You don't get a thrill out of teleporting yourself from one location to another and having people know that you teleported. That's no big deal. Because if it's a big deal, then you're touched by the idea that people might think you can do these things and might think that you're wonderful. You travel far more than you ever realize. You are around the country. At the breakfast table, I was giving an illustration, and it was an illustration that no one caught. Everyone said, well, I didn't quite get that. Didn't quite flow with that. And that's okay. It only meant that you were concentrating on your humanity. You were concentrating on your everyday activities instead of on what was being said. But the minute you concentrate on what's being said, especially it's what you say, then you are a master, working in a very wonderful, masterly way. And that's up to you. All great speakers were bad speakers at first? Not necessarily so. It could be, but it's not necessary. It is necessarily so when you think from the human point of view. I must be so old before I can walk. I must be so old before I can talk. I must be so old before I can do this. Now, isn't this an interesting thought? Childhood diseases generally do not hurt the children. When an adult gets a childhood disease, it's usually fatal for him. You understand that?
Yeah.
Now, why? What doctor said that first? Well, they said, it's just what happens. Change what happens. Say, the childhood diseases never even have to happen in the first place. But adults who have childhood diseases handle them just like a child does. Untouched. It's a wonderful thing. We do not have to go backward. We came as a full vessel with all knowledge, all ability, with our physical body able to do wonderful things, and we do it. I worked with a man who was a, I don't know what you say, he couldn't move his muscles, he was all clenched up like a little rubber band in his body, and he was tight. And I told him, I said, you don't have to be that way, just relax and be at peace. And he relaxed a little bit, but it didn't work. And then we had a number of kids who came in and massaged the guy. And he relaxed a lot more. And then we had three beautiful girls who appeared on the scene from somewhere. And they walked in front of him naked. And instantly his body sprung into a normal. His arms were out, his legs were out. He was in a perfectly free mobile attitude, you know what I mean? He could use his body in a normal way. Was that some sort of medicine that was given to him or something? Then, when the girls left, bonk, went back like a rubber band. Now why? Was he so hormonally directed to the girls? He'd seen beautiful girls many times. No, it's just his attitude. Just his attitude. His mother told him when he was born that they used the forceps to bring him out and they squeezed a little too hard on his head and it caused his brain or his bodily functions not to, it pinched some nerve which caused him to do that. And so if his mother had said, you're whole and perfect. You're whole and perfect. You're whole and perfect. Everything would have been fine. His head grew back. It filled out the place where it had been pushed in a little bit. Everything is perfect about him, except his attitude, which was built up by his mother, by the doctors, by life, and because he sort of enjoyed being a cripple and being pushed around. He had a good business. He had his mother still living right next door to him. He owned a series of apartment complexes. He owned a very, very successful health food store in Hemet. Fantastic guy. But the minute I worked with him on wholeness, and he experienced his wholeness, he didn't want anything more to do with me. He didn't want anything more to do with it, and he went right back into his condition, which is his privilege. But you see, we can do miracles for ourselves. We can have miracle experiences, and we can do wonderful things if we could get rid of this human idea that we can't. The divine says you can. The human says you can't. Now, if you want to stay a bad speaker at first, then enjoy. If you want to be your divine self right from the get-go, right from the beginning, right from the popping out of the womb, hey, go for it. Or even before you come out. Even before. It's your choice. This is our thought for today, and have fun thinking it, because I love you, I love you, I love you.